Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're bringing to a conclusion the discussion we've been having for a number of weeks now of what it means to have eternal life in us. When you believe on Jesus as Savior and Lord, you are born again or born from above. You actually receive eternal life in your spirit. Eternal life is the life in God. Christianity is more than just getting your sins forgiven. It's union with God, a living, vital, organic union with Almighty God and the life in God through Jesus. The Bible uses three word pictures to describe our relationship with Christ once we believe, and all three of them depict union and shared life. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the head, we're the body. He's the husband, we're the wife. We become partakers of the life of God in us. That life comes into our human spirit and transforms us from sinners into sons of God, from unholy, unrighteous children of the devil into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. That life in our spirit will ultimately transform every part of our being and make us like Jesus, the perfect son in every part of our being. But right now in this life, the uncreated eternal life of God is in us to enable us to walk as Jesus walked when he was on this earth 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the standard for Christian behavior. Jesus is in us by his life to produce outward evidence of the life within. See, whatever's in that life is in you because his life is in you. And it can potentially show up on the outside. We call that fruit. But in order for what's in you now to show up outwardly, you have to believe it. You have to know what's there, and you have to believe it. God has chosen to work in our lives by his grace through his faith. By his grace through our faith. When we believe God's word, that we in our spirit are strong, are righteous, are patient, are loving, are healed, God, by his life in us, does the work of building that reality into our soul and body. See, peace is God's life demonstrated in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. Healing is God's life demonstrated in your physical body. Paul, who had outward demonstration of the life of God within him, tells us that in order for that to happen, we must walk by faith and not by sight. And we've emphasized in this series that faith is not sight. Whatever faith is, it's not sight. Faith believes what God says, despite what it sees, despite what it feels. Faith agrees with what God says about the way things really are, despite how things look or feel. See, most of us walk by sight and don't realize it. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, in the context of having outward demonstration of the life within, Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Most of us walk by sight and not faith, but we don't know we walk by sight. To walk by sight means you base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. See, we're constantly getting input from our five physical senses, sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And that information stimulates our emotions. I mean, if you see something scary, you'll feel fear. We're constantly getting input from our five physical senses, but our five physical senses don't take into account the invisible realm, the unseen realm of God and his provision and power. Our senses also don't give us information about the transformation that's taken place in our spirit where we're in union with God. We have to get all that information from God's Word. See, most of us walk by sight. To walk by sight means you base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. In other words, we believe something is so because we can see it or feel it. Faith believes what God says despite what it sees or feels. Do you see the difference? Sight believes what it sees and feels. Faith believes what God says in His Word despite what it sees and feels. Many of the accounts recorded in the Old Testament were written to keep us from making the same mistakes they did. 1 Corinthians 10 specifically points out the generation of Israelites who were delivered from bondage in Egypt as a group who made a lot of mistakes, and we can learn from their mistakes based on the written record we have of what they did wrong or what they shouldn't have done. And we made the point a couple of weeks ago, they did not receive what God had given them and wanted them to have, namely the land of Canaan. If you read their whole story, God gave them the land of Canaan before they got there. And in other words, He said, it's yours. And He also said, I will bring you in. I'll fight the battles. I'll defeat your enemies for you. But they didn't get it. They didn't possess it. They did not enter into the land and settle there, and were specifically told it was because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that. Unbelief is no faith. They walked by sight and not by faith. They walked by sight and not by faith. Now, we've already talked a lot about them. Let me review a few things, because we can learn a lot about what it means to walk by sight to help us stop doing it. After Israel crossed the Red Sea, after Israel was delivered from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, they headed for Canaan. As you know, once they reached the border, they sent 12 men in to spy out the land before the main group moved in. And after 40 days, all the spies came back and reported on what they saw. All of them agreed it was indeed a bountiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but all of them noted that there were formidable obstacles. There were walled cities, warlike tribes, unusually large people. They all saw the same things. But it's not what you see that makes you or breaks you. It's how you see what you see. It's not what you see that makes you or breaks you. It's how you see what you see. Think about it for a minute. Do you assess what you see only in terms of what you see and how you feel about what you see? Or do you assess your situation in terms of what God says? It's not what you see, it's how you see what you see. Do you assess your situation only in terms of what you see and how you feel about what you see? Or do you assess it in terms of what God says? Two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, we are well able to overcome these people and take the land. The rest of the spies said, we can't take the land because the people of the land are stronger than us. If you go back to Numbers chapter 13, I'm not reading it. We read it earlier in the series. You can go back and read it in Numbers 13, but everybody saw the same thing. Beautiful, bountiful land, a lot of formidable obstacles. Two of them said, we're well able to overcome all these obstacles and take this land. The rest of the spies said, oh no, we can't take this land because the people of the land are stronger than us. Now, all of them saw the same things, but reached two completely different conclusions about their situation. It's not what they saw, it's how they saw what they saw. See, it isn't what they saw that defeated them, that kept them out of the land. If that was the case, everybody would have been kept out of the land, but Joshua and Caleb went in. They eventually possessed the land. It's not what they saw, it's how they saw what they saw, or their view of reality. It's their view of reality in the situation that determine their actions. And we get insight into each side's view of reality, the guys that wanted to go in and the guys that didn't want to go in. Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take this land because God is with us to fight for us. God with us makes us bigger than our enemies. The other spies said, oh, these people are so big, we look like grasshoppers compared to them, in our eyes and in their sight. Those 10 spies assessed their situation according to what they could see. They walked by sight, in other words. They said, our enemies are bigger than us, therefore we can't take the land. End of discussion. They assessed the whole situation based on what they could see and how they felt about what they could see. Joshua and Caleb said, our enemies are bigger than us, but God is with us, and He with us makes us bigger than them. They assessed their situation in terms of reality as it truly is, God with them. They saw beyond what they could see to reality as it truly is, God with them, bigger than anything that could come against them. See, they walked by faith. Do you see the difference here? Joshua and Caleb walked by faith because they took into account the unseen realities that God had revealed to them through His word. The other spies walked by sight. They based what they believed and how they acted entirely on what they saw and what they felt about what they saw. It was true that their enemies were bigger and stronger than all of them, if we assess the situation only in terms of what could be seen. But there's always more to reality than what we can see and feel. There is an unseen, invisible realm. Now, it looked right and it felt right for Israel to refuse to enter the land of Canaan, but it was wrong. Why? Because they based their actions only on what they saw and felt instead of what God said, and their view of reality was incorrect, and it cost them the will of God. But Joshua and Caleb had a different view of reality. They fully followed the Lord. Numbers 14:24 says Caleb had a different attitude. Caleb was of another mind. He took my part. We'll talk more about what that means tomorrow. But the point for right now is, do you walk by faith or do you walk by sight? If you walk by sight, the wonderful changes in your spirit will not show up on the outside. You got to walk by faith. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.